love life he's involved in. A few years ago, you can recall, Chairperson, they came and reported to us. But for the last few years, they get the money, but what are they doing with the money? As far as the concerned, you understand? I don't have a problem with giving money. But, you know, in the sporting sense, what are they doing with that money? And I think, Chairperson, you must also invite Love Life to come and report to us now. To come and tell us what their programs are. Because I haven't heard about Love Life games anymore. That everything disappeared.
You put it now, proposal for Love Life to come. You come late to have started. I don't know what I'm going to write. Let's go on.
Right. Now, the DG also mentioned that we have a few delinquent provinces. Now, I want to know who those provinces are. Secondly, you know, to withhold money from provinces, you don't really spite the province. What we are in fact doing, we are spiting the children. People that should be benefiting from the money that we give, do you understand? So I'm just thinking whether that sort of a penalty, whether we are not penalizing the wrong people when we do such things. And then I'm not saying, I'm not condoning at all, Chairperson, delinquent provinces. Because at the end of the day, tomorrow the people say that you are doing nothing. And it's not you that that's doing nothing, because at the end of the day, we must go and answer. And then it's really the delinquent provinces, the officials there. Another point, Chairperson, I feel that in future, if we visit provinces, I would like the department to go with us. Because they tell us many stories. And then we don't really know the full truth. And therefore, if we're going to investigate, we want to have a list of what must we look for. And secondly, you know, when they report, the department is there to tell us, listen, no, what they are saying is the truth. You understand? I'm talking about provinces, Chairperson. Now, you said that we had to claim back the $5 million when Bush arrived and they closed closed down our accommodation. You know, but as far as I'm concerned, we are talking about a 2.2 million rand extra year. It's not the 5 million of Bush's money, it's the 5 million rand, 2.2 million rand extra. Now, where did this happen? Because this is after Bush, or who arrived when? You know, it seems as if it was a little bit of a smaller man that arrived on the scene. Therefore, the amount is less. Now, Chairperson, this morning we spoke about transformation, and we were going on about transformation. And that will only happen if we get education, the Department of Education, on board. And really committed to doing something. You know, it mustn't be sort of a hesitant thing or just a partial thing, or, you know, there must be total commitment from their side. Now, my question to the DG is, their commitment, is it, you know, only in words terms, or is it in financial terms, or what are the terms, what are they bring to the table when it comes to, I know we've spoke about phys ed and things like that, but I think they can do a lot more. Because the future of sport in this country, really, it is in the hands of teachers, committed teachers to the course, Chairperson. Because we want those kids, that is where the talent is, and where that is where they should be developed. And what is the department's commitment to our course, Chairperson? We spoke about the lotteries and non-compliance, and last point, Chairperson, you know, when you're in a corner, what I've learned, when I'm in a corner, then I call the DG. That is what I do. I was on my way to, I was invited to a place called, I must Ratel Gat, it's not Ratel Gat chairperson. And I was invited there to speak at a Indigenous Games ceremony. And to me it was sort of a foreign thing, chairperson. You understand? But when you get there, then you understand how serious people are about these things. And how passionate they are about these things. And how they want to feel that their South Africanness must also be appreciated, chairperson. When I got there, you know, and I really saw, and it was really the Greek was coming together in a very, very big way. And in the presentation, the director told us that the stakeholders were sort of involved, and she contacted and spoke to the stakeholders. Now, I just wanted to know whether these these people from Ratel Gat, whether they whether these people from Ratel Gat, the Greek was, whether they were also consulted, because they feel that they must not be excluded from the main agenda in South Africa. Thanks, chairperson. Did you?
Mr. Chair, I just want to spell out again that we've got the beautiful stadiums. It's important in our next budget that we must look and make sure that these stadiums can be used for the different codes. And we don't move to a state where it doesn't become possible to use the stadium. So I want that thing to be on our mind all the time. The mass participation program has always been a problem to me, because it's good to have all the figures and what is being done and so on, but I mean, there's not really infrastructure for these programs in the rural areas. So more must be done to help the people to have these programs really up and running. I don't want to name few places, but I mean it's in the rural area specifically, that's a big problem. School sports, I would really love that this thing is really come that this codes can be played all over from grassroots to national level. It has been again now that some of the tournaments has been postponed from September to December. I haven't been a favor of going the way of federations, but I mean this has been becoming the order of the day, but it's important that those tournaments are held. I mean a pupil has only once can be selected for under 17 side. If that year has been passed and he didn't get the chance, I mean it's talent down the drain. So really it's important that the program as it is must be fulfilled, and we must make sure that funds are available. The difficulty of this is national seed to national tournaments, provinces look at the provincial, regional and provincial. That can be a problem also, because it can be that provinces doesn't allocate enough money and in certain areas, rural areas, children don't have money from their region to their district and district to provincial colors. So we must make sure that a child don't fall by the wayside. I mean, we had the Golden Games now. It's one of the social services program, but when sports is... these programs, it's actually important that when tournaments are held, it's not fair that the rich province of areas, their pupils and their elderly looks the same, and with smaller unions or smaller regions, there's not money for the ordinary attire. I mean, it's important for if you go to kids or children or the elderly, that all of them are treated the same, not message that the budget has been cut and when you get to a tournament, one region has got everything and the other region looks dismally. So we must make sure about that. I'll stick with that at this time, Mr. Chair. Yes, I think we can go with that.
Again, thanks, Chairperson. I've been covered on quite a few of the issues. Just one thing on page 75 of the document, just for the DG, just for correctness. If you go to the schedule, which talks about progress made in clearing stroke resolving the matter, on the last line of the first block, the department has decided to cease collecting royalties or cease collecting royalties. Right, so I think you need to correct that before that becomes a public document. Right, the second thing I'd like to talk about is the sub-program club development. And under there you stated that no local leagues were established during this current 2009-2010 year. What bothers me, Chairperson, is that I was in KwaMoshu 2 days ago, and I was looking at the request from the local youngsters who wanted to play, in this case, rugby. There is a field there, but they have no organizational expertise to do it. The Federation, or the Sharks in this case, have got a certain budget, but it doesn't cater for that. So the club that I'm involved in have been asked to go there and set it up. But of course there's expenditure involved. But we could have leagues in Umlazi and KwaMoshu, which would make a huge difference. And it bothers me that no leagues are established, because that's how you build the rivalries, and that's how you get the interest going, and that's how we keep the kids off the streets and give them, you know, hope. And, you know, development to me is giving people a chance. Transformation is embracing that chance with a mind shift and a heart shift, and then following through. So that's something that I think we should look at very seriously. The third thing I wanted to talk about was under irregular expenditure. Donald covered the first part, that $2 million. But I was talking about the $3 million in the irregular tender process, if we could have some more details on that. And then finally, and JJ has spoken a little bit about this, but when we had all the stadium operators here just before the break, we discussed the stadiums, and we were discussing the conditions of the conditional grant that the government had given to the various metros or municipalities. And I'd like to know whether these conditions have been followed through properly, DG, whether those conditions have been met, because my feeling is that they haven't, and that the mixed use or the of those stadiums, that preparation prior to build, was not carried through, because if it had been, we wouldn't have some of these challenges we've got now. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The one question that I wanted to pose was partly touched by Honorable Lee of the 2 million of fruitless expenditure. I just want to check, Chairperson, because it looks strange enough to me that a double booking can be done by two people from one office. I actually don't know how that came to happen, but I want to check as to actually who is charged with the responsibility of making sure that the bookings are done. That's one. Number two, Chairperson, on this page 71, it indicates that the department is just an implementer. A facilitator, and provinces are implementers. I also want to check as do they have a monitoring tool? Because apparently they leave it up to the provinces as an obligation. I'm saying this, Chair, because you know at a certain point, the president of Sasfolk was here and was like saying, You keep on complaining on shortage of sports equipment, but if you visit provinces and get to their warehouses, you know equipments are stored there up to the rafters. That's number two. The last question, Chair. On the same page 71, there is a resignation of about 19. People. I'm surely not, don't know that there is a resignation and transfers of 19. Yes, it is understandable with those that transferred, but I want to check as to what actually happened to those that resigned, because one would expect that, you know, at this, you know, present juncture, people would actually be securing their employment. But I want to check as to what actually happened that prompted these people to make resignations. Did they do it because they want to pursue studies? Did they do it because you know they went for greener pastures? I just want to know. It's just a question. Lastly, Chairperson, the DG posed a rhetoric question like, do our people know what is taking place in sports recreation of South Africa? That's how the DG posted. But the answer is that you know some that normally the department visit would not know, but would still know that there is this thing that is called sports and recreation. But there are those in deep rural areas that don't even know whether there is a department like that. I stayed DG in the Northwest, in Vryburg, and daar aan het kant van Vryburg. And it's very rare that you'd see departmental people going to such places, because they are far away, and there are no roads, but there are people there. And in most cases, when department would say we visit rural areas, they'd go to Rustenburg, they'd go to Gladstone, they'd go to Gilstead, Chairperson, perhaps, I don't know. I'm just making it a plea that Vryburg had meant a hook. Assembly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Hey, what an Afrikaans appeal. I don't know what does it mean to you, DG. But it's a real Afrikaans appeal, eh? an Afrikaans appeal, please. For soup. Okay. Great.
Thank you. elderly women in our rural areas? And the answer I have received is that no, they are not their priority, and that they must be part of the IDPs within the municipality. And I was not satisfied, Chairperson, with the response they asked the minister. And fortunately today, it's water under the bridge. I know who to approach. Secondly, Chair, I think we must improve our interaction with the department with regard, more especially with the quarterly reports of the department, because we can be able to get the detailed reports of the performance of our provinces, and this will enable us to report back to our constituencies on progress made by the department, programs and progress made by the Department of Sports and Recreation. And there was a slide also that was indicating that the provinces don't have capacity. Even though they can use 6% of the DORA grant that is meant for institutional arrangements, then they can't deliver on mass participation programs. And I just want to check, what are the challenges actually? And the other question is that In the annual report, there was a, with resignation, there was one employee who has decided to resign from the department because after the incapacity investigation was initiated. My question is that what was the reason that prompted the department to investigate this person? And when is the Auxiliary Service Directorate performed the screening of candidates? Is it before appointment or after the appointment? And the last one is with regard to the master systems plan on page 31. The department has said that the plan was delayed due to the cost-saving measures introduced by the department, and these measures prohibit the appointment of the external service provider. And it will be finalized once the information technology director has been appointed. But contrary, on page 32, they are saying the contracting of an external service provider to assist the department was at the approval stage, and it will be concluded during the next financial year. I'm just checking whether is it not contradiction. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Grace. Lindy? Cora?
Nkosi, Dallas is my man. On page 16 of the annual report, you know, first, I'm just asking myself, this beautiful glossy report, how much does it cost to produce one? That is the question. On page 16, 1.2, this is strategic objectives, key strategic focus areas. 1.2, it says to assist in identifying and developing talent that will address transformation. I'd like to be explained what role does the department play there? How do they assist? And after they've identified, what happened? It goes down to 1.8. Contribute to the functioning of a proper development continuum and an academic system, streamlining
transitional talented athletes from mass participation to high performance programs. If they can elaborate on that, I'll be happy so that one can understand, because these things, well, as they put it here, that things are happening, and you on the ground, you don't see these things happening. On page 17, the last bulletin reads as follows: the minister may issue directives if the sports confederation has failed to resolve the dispute within a reasonable time. The minister must issue guidelines for the promotion of equity, representation and redress, sports and recreation. Now, with this debacle of Athletics South Africa, what is a reasonable period? Because this debacle has been coming on. Now, when we say that this legislative mandate has to do that, when do that happen? When do we say this reasonable time has expired and we are acting now? On page 36, Sifuna says, Luma goes to Ibe, so that Singa, we say, Luba says, Basinga, Bako into Yunga Fan. Mida Laizen. Lapa, the first paragraph speaks about media licensing support services were provided in support of departmental programs and events. Other key issues addressed in the media included, among others, the debacle surrounding the victory of Casta, the Beast, and the... Yeah. Now, the debacle of Casta, this thing has overclouded the issue that she won this gold medal. And up to today, I have not seen that Casta being given the same profile which was given to this Messi, was the Kafu Dadupur, Uzolabad. Now, if this media's role is to do such things, why was it quiet on that issue? We did not see that kind of landing happening to this kid. On page 37, human resource, HR, the first one, the department has not yet met all the employment equity targets as set out by the DTSA. When will that happen? No, but I had some time to read this thing also when I was in France, Comrade Chair. I took it with me. Saying to myself that at least the people have voted for me, at least I must also put something back. No, also, and we just killed the DI detective. Do you know the DI?
No.
It is the DA and the ID now has been changed to the DI.
Die.
Die, lady, die. On page 45, Comrade Chair, the issue of sick leaves and leaves. Can we also be explained, because this is quite a lot of days, Lava. What is happening when people don't take these things? And are they being compensated or non-compensated? And a lot, how do they land on that? Then I'll go to page 59, objectives and measures, Lava. It says to improve the provision and management of the sports and recreation facilities in municipalities. Now, bullet Municipality advancing and lobbying 100 municipalities through visits, meetings, workshops, allocate and what, which municipalities are we talking about? So that we can go and check that these workshops and things, what has been reported here. And improve five mobile gyms to five municipalities. What criteria was used in identifying them, and where are they? And this last one, providing the technical support to 100 municipalities and the construction and management of facilities. You know, because when did this thing happen? Because if you visit facilities, facilities are depleting by the minute. Now, if there is this work which the department has done, we want to know where did this happen so that we can go and check, Comrade Chair. Angana Bank is the summer who auditor general. You see, Comrade Chair, if you look at the 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009 reports, 2009, 10, issues which have been identified by the AG, most of those things are still happening. It says here on page 79, leadership key officials were not always available throughout the audit process. Prior year audit funding were not addressed in all instances. Action was also not taken to address risks relating to non-compliance with applicable law and regulations. As I said, Comrade Chair, that most of these things are reflected in the prior one. What is the problem in terms of trying to sort them out so that the city bar, one's eyes don't come across this? Because my eyes are getting sore now. Just to have to look at one thing. Thank you.
Chairperson, it's a pity that you had the one day for this annual report. Otherwise, we could have taken a different view. But my first approach, Chairperson, would be that you see, this report, that the annual report, it becomes a public document for the public to interact. And surely it must talk about the good story of the department, the achievements. They must come very clear. Now, going forward to elections, and you take this document to say this is what we've done, I don't think the public would be very happy in seeing what is taking place. Secondly, Chairperson, for me, you know, you've got six programs that have been categorized in front here, starting from two up to the last one. But if you get go inside, because I would have thought that each program would be saying this is the amount allocated for each sub-program, so that each sub-directorate speaks to the finance and the output of their performance. Now, it does not give us a good confidence in what we have achieved and not achieved. In fact, the more negative is coming out of the report, the annual report, rather than what we have done. I'll tell you, Chairperson, if you go to substantiate what I'm saying, you go to page 26, if I'm not mistaken. I've underlined so many things, and I stopped halfway to say, no, man, it won't be good for me. if you look at page 30 years, under corporate services, if you speak of information technology, you speak there of master systems plan, the status progress, the target 100% completed, the actual 30. Now, the explanatory notes there is not a good story as to why we arrive at 30 instead of 60, what you may say. You know, because you get that explanatory notes on page 31 in the middle under information technology. And if you could advance that furthermore, equally to the HRD, Human Resource Directorate, there you ask yourself after reading that sentence, but why has it not happened in the manner equally with the subsequent one on the marketing and communication? In other words, you see, our communication strategy to the public, to our achievements, is not becoming very strong. You know, and we don't claim our victories as a department. You know, we should be shouting all over the show. I'm not sure whether this directory does have budget to do that, or is it just on paper? Because normally you get just the statements without substantiating with the figures. Take the auxiliary services directorate. Now, it is silent on its budget, right? But if you look into their programs, their statements here, it leaves much to be desired. Surely the person was just writing, but to drive it, because it says we need the entire page. If they say there in the middle, these efforts resulted in disciplinary action being taken against four departmental employees who had failed to declare criminal records. Now, if they failed to declare, are they still there in the employ, or have they been given a warning or an amnesty to continue? What is the status of that? If you go down, the target date for the completion of this exercise is mid-May 2010. Has it been completed? On the same thing. Now, Chairperson, I've underlined many things here on this one, but I'll skip that. Chairperson, in terms of the financial implications, on page 33, under legal litigation, can you quantify that into rand and cents? Value for money? And what is the recovery to that? Because these are just statements. And you see, when the directorate was speaking here, they don't speak with confidence. And that's why I almost lift my head when you're asking a question to say, okay, Suga, wait. Because the department seems not to be confident in speaking when it comes to in management of this department. That's my problem. Now, some of these cases, I would assume that they should have been concluded. If there are recovery that needs to be done without making a statement, that should have happened if you go to the AG's report. So on page 33, under legal and litigation, what are the costs involved in those cases by the department? Chairperson, I just want to jump to your organogram, the Human Resource Directorate, on page 37. You know, I did want to comment on page 36, but I leave that because I did read this document. I must appreciate the department for under the disability. You know, there is a forward movement in that regard. Because they say 2%, you know, was reached. But if you go around the age, on the second paragraph, I think that question has been raised, if I'm not mistaken, by Comrade Cora. But if not, that second page, that second paragraph, on page 37, it is a challenge. Chairperson, let me go to the funding of the department. You know, Chairperson, on the issues that were raised by the Auditor General, we are not getting a firm, as I've said, leadership from the department to say we are on top. Because remember last year we said there should be an entry point, a baseline. If you want to correct the ills of the department, you must say, this is what we discovered. Now, out of this, what we've discovered, this is the way we're going to do it, so that we measure. The outputs of the department are very minimal and are scanty all over. You can't say this is the output because you measure the performance of your department through your outputs. For instance, service level agreements were not signed. They had 34%, if I'm not mistaken. I've read the document somewhere. The service level, now how do you measure your officials if so many service level agreements were not signed in the department? It means there's a problem. It talks to the management. Now, equally, where the department auditor general is raising some of these issues on page 78 under restatement of corresponding figures, the irregular expenditure, can I just check from you, Chair? I'm sure let me close on this one. Is there any recovery? I'm raising this matter because other entities, take SAA, they are bought through Cheryl Carlos. When they come in, they arrive at a mess. But they made a bold statement to say the former CEO, we are going to charge him, he must bring back the amounts of money, rather than to make a statement that we need. In this case, we are a little quiet in terms of your firmness. And the time is going on. Now, the public does not have confidence in that regard if you say we need like, just like this white paper. It has been coming for so long. I've not laid my eyes on it or whatever. That's already to be updated. As we move forward on that white paper, it must take us along. They are 80% in completion, 3-4 years down the line, not yet there. So I'm saying we need to move up with a little bit of speed and do things differently. Otherwise, we'll make a tautology of these reports. Thank you.
Thank you.
Suga. Malishiva.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first one is on the provinces that doesn't submit their business plan on time. I'm worried because I'm here, the department saying that they are going to hold their grants. Now, my worry is that the people down there, they are waiting for service delivery. Now, if the provinces is not submitting their business plan on time, maybe the department must come up with something that can help the provinces because they delay service to our people. And the other one is on the distribution of document. I hear you saying that we are going to distribute document and then people will get it on the internet or electronical, but you say because it's cheap. The problem is also when we go to the deep rural area, because us who come from the rural area, we know that we have got places where there is no electricity, which means these people, they are not going to get this information. And the other one is on the building. You mentioned that you are having problems with your buildings where we can't accommodate these people with disabilities. I don't know where this 2% is situated now. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Comrade Chair, just to start off at the last point that Malashiva mentioned in terms of the provinces that don't stick to the time frames, it further supports a view that was held in this portfolio committee for the past few years that in certain respects you find that provinces simply do not have the capacity, firstly, to conform to the requirements in terms of time frames and what is required. But furthermore, Chairperson, it is the quality of the mass participation program in some of these provinces. You know, it is very disempowering when you engage with federations in certain areas and you find out that federations are really running their business on a shoestring budget in terms of amateur sport and what is happening, and they try their utmost, while parallel to that is the mass participation program, which do not achieve the desired outcomes. We will find it very difficult, Chairperson, and maybe now that we can amend money bills and make proposals to the Minister of Finance, we should seriously consider in our report in roping in further the assistance of some of the sport codes of federations in areas where provincial departments simply do not have the capacity to roll out the mass participation program. You see, it's difficult to justify why we should continuously appropriate, in this instance, in this report here, it's more than 400 million rand. It's nice to see people throwing balls around and skipping and jumping, but a certain portion of that money must also be spread to reach really those who are already actively involved in amateur sport but do not have the means, and where federations do not have the ability to financially fund specific programs. It provides room to give expression to the government's committed undertaking to enter into public-private partnerships across the board where it can be done. And I firmly propose, Chairperson, that in our report to Parliament that we seriously consider including this. That will guarantee that at least that there will be focused elements of the mass participation program that will be implemented, whether it is in terms of talent identification, because we cannot expect federations to continuously on their own with the mega budgets go and identify talent. They must search, they must uncover the talent, they must nurture the talent, they must sustain the talent, they must train them, they must affirm them, and ultimately they must be rewarded. It's a very long process, and this program has the potential to assist in that regard. Also, Chairperson, in terms of the mass participation program over the years, there is equipment that has been acquired through this program in the different hubs, and one would like to find out if an inventory exists of what happens to this equipment after a period of time. Is it simply written off? Can it be accounted for? Because you cannot continuously throw money into a bottomless pit. Then, Chairperson, in terms of the statutory obligations of the Department of Sport, there are certain obligations placed on the Department under the National Sport and Recreation Amendment Act. And one of those obligations are to ascertain and to process the applications of foreign-based players, coaches, and other support staff who want to come and apply their trade in South Africa. I want to find out which directorate in the department is dealing with this matter, how many applications, because I don't pick it up in this annual report, have been processed by the department in this last financial year of the annual report that is here in front of us. What is the average turnaround time? Because we do have information at our disposal that certain applications take extraordinarily long to be processed. And in one instance, it took a turnaround time of 56 days for an application for a foreign coach who applied and conformed rigorously to the act to be processed. And then also, I want to hear from the department if it is indeed correct that in a lot of instances the Department of Home Affairs don't even pay attention to this recommendation that is expected from the Department of Sport and simply process the application, whether it has been to the department or not, because otherwise, Chairperson, if that is the case, then the act is not worth the ink that it is written in. We also, Chairperson, are reminded of the clumsy way in which the department dealt with the beast saga, where the player who from a school-going age have been here in South Africa, who played in junior teams, who played in the Sharks, Natal, who already had a number of Springbok caps under his belt, was prevented, which I would deem very selectively, from further participation in the Springbok national team, and where a position was taken from the department that under no circumstances would this player be allowed to play. And the following day, the Minister of Home Affairs granted the player full citizenship. Now that raises a serious concern, Chairperson. It's one government, it's different departments, but there should be collaboration between the different departments to prevent the government from being embarrassed in this regard. And also, Chairperson, I've heard some of the members referring to stadiums, and I know there is a request from certain cities who do have these World Cup stadiums, or at least one city, to apply for a form of a grant, a conditional grant through the MIG, to cross-subsidize or to assist the stadium from turning into a white elephant here down the road. Now, Chairperson, we must be reminded of the objectives of the MIG grant. It is there to roll out in the disadvantaged areas where there's absolutely nothing, the intention of building basic sport facilities, and not to cross-subsidize as a first option the stadiums that are there. We need to enter into further discussions at this portfolio committee level and deal exclusively with the issue of stadiums. I don't expect it to have been reflected in this annual report. I think most probably in the next annual report there will be more detail about that. But we also need to ask the department to look at the prevailing practices at all, especially the new stadiums, as to how they make it sustainable and how they make it possible for amateur sport to be played at the stadiums alongside professional coaches who pay money to utilize the stadium. But I sincerely hope, Chairperson, that we can deal with this matter as a matter of urgency. And then lastly, Chairperson, in terms of the transformation in sport should really form the center of activities of the department and really nurture and edge and push these sport federations along to conform to the obligations and also to the undertakings that they are giving to the department. I beg to say that in the last financial year especially, we've seen a systematic regression in terms of the transformation, especially in the major sport codes. And this morning we were reminded that there are a lot of different or smaller sport federations affiliated to SASCOC where transformation is not really an issue. I am informed, Chairperson, that even the team, South Africa, that went to the Commonwealth Games raised the eyebrows of South African diplomats in India in terms of the composition of that team. And no longer can we afford the luxury of SASCOC by simply saying it is the federations who are not conforming. We need more mainstreaming of transformation and reporting on the figures in terms of transformation, not only in terms of color, but also in terms of gender, also in terms of the administrative and elected officials in the different sport codes, so that we can have a look across the board and not only focus on the numbers in the team itself, but a lot broader to see if these sport codes are transforming. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Suga, just finish up your point.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to jump on page 82. It's just a clarity question for the explanation, Chair, on the financial side. Under page 82, under 1.6, Office of the Chief Financial Officer, I can see the expenditure is up to a tune of 29.9%. I just need some clarity, because if you look at the actual and vis-a-vis the expenditure, equally to page 83, under transfers and subsidies, public corporations and private enterprises, only 4.2% expenditure that is being reflected, Chairperson. And then in my last closing, on page 110 and page 111, both page 110 and 111, under 25.3, details of irregular expenditure condoned. And page 110, the lease expenditure. Can I just get a clarity on the lease 23.2? Some clarity on those finances. And equally, if you say this list of condoned by DG, there are about 8 or so. Can I just get some explanation, because they amount to 10.1 million. Can I just get a little bit of clarity on that? If you speak of Mandi or Mandi project, what does that mean, and how do you arrive? What happened to that? Thank you, Chair. On page 110 and page 111. It's too much for condonement.
Thank you, Suga. TG, and your panel, let's go on the answer.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, it is 25 past 9, and I'm very concerned that we do not deal very fleetingly with the questions and comments posed by the members. I'm going to ask the team to respond as far as we can, but I'm very afraid that it may easily create the impression. I think sitting here and listening to members, I really felt very excited, not only about the questions, but also the feedback that we've received. And I think what we have done, we have prepared a document on the basis of previous concerns that you've raised when we appeared before the committee, earlier before the session, because we know in these sessions it's often quite difficult to respond comprehensively. So I want to say at the outset that I really don't want the team to rush through some of these matters, but some of the issues are quite fundamental, and we need very dedicated time to engage with some of these. I think some members pointed to that need already, such as the need for us to look at stadiums, the issue to really assess and deal with how we comprehensively tackle transformation and the different elements of transformation and so on. And I would really say that with that understanding that we will come back, identify major themes, and perhaps engage more in depth to ask my colleagues to respond to some of the more pertinent specifics related to the annual report.
No, DG, you're right. Because members are asking questions. Like the issue of the stadium raised by JJ and Cedric and others. I think you recall that as soon as the first time we were requested to appropriate money for the stadium, we raised a question to the minister, say, when it is Mangaung Vodacom Stadium owned by the cheaters, what is the contractual relations that we are going to enter into with the public money to a private stadium? And the answer that we got was that the DG would provide us with the contract, because we will be entering contract with such a stadium. One of those stadiums was Ellis Park. And we were very reluctant, if comrades would recall, very reluctant to accede to cabinet on the appropriation of funds to such stadiums where, in the long run, stadiums belong to private entities, and therefore it's going to be difficult for our people to get into those things. And such discussion, DG, you can strategically share them, but we are very polite but very serious that the contract that we have been promised around what are the relationship of those stadiums, and we want it because we know how those federations treat anybody who wants to use those stadiums, because in essence they are technically belonging to them in terms of the lease that they've entered into with municipalities. So those are kind of questions that you can put them on aside, but those that are really issues that are matters that are contemporary in terms of this annual report, you can deal with those, and then you'll be able to deal with them in a way. And issues of the impact of mass participation that is raised by Cedric also and other members, that clear analysis that you say we will be getting that, you can technically try to put it on the side because it doesn't result into an audit quiz, but it's a concern to us that this report, to us the food soldiers, it is in sharp contradiction to a glaring reality that we are coming across when you are outside there. That is what these things are all about. But you check, and then if there is any question that you feel, but this one is supposed to be answered, and then it is not going to need other discussion. And the members are saying, the department, in essence, was supposed to meet on a quarterly basis and to be able to deal with these matters, not to deal with the whole big chunk of matters when it is at the end of the year. But I think committee has been just sympathetic in making members not to be able to do work in the offices and shuttle from time to time between Parliament and the department. But there is a need for us definitely to meet, not only when we are meeting on the financial year, but we must meet on other basis so that we deal with these matters, so that by this time we just recall of what we raised that time and then it has been corrected. Yes, DJ.
Thank you for that guidance, Honourable Chair. In that case, I will then ask the perhaps Professor Singh, you ready to pick up on some of, you've not heard his voice yet, Chair. I'll ask some of the team to respond, and then afterwards I'll pick up on issues that they may have left out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond to Honourable Mr. Lee's question relating to Love Life, where he asked the committee would like to know what is it that they do for sport and where are they functioning.
But let us not start there, Mr. Singh, about Love Life. We want to check with the department, and we have raised this with the deputy minister, that are you really, really bound to deal with that element of life as sports and recreation? Is it difficult for you to give to any other sister department that is ready to take this? Because this is not for the first time that you talk about life. It is not for the first time. Go and check 5 years ago. We've been dealing with this life. When it was difficult, we called Harris here, if members would recall. We called Harris here and said that, can you give us an impact of life in sport? Instead, life becomes a franchise that is generating money. That is money, life money, to all the departments that are getting there. It's closer, if it is not more than 100 million that Love Life is getting. Because it's getting 45 million from health, it's getting 35 million from social development, it's getting 30 something from us, and there are these number of departments that Love Life is getting this month. What is this thing that a department, we were told that it was a case of foundation, it was brought up here by Nelson Mandela and all that. Let it go to another department. And that is what we've been saying. Say, let it go to another department, because to us, it just increased our own money, which DG, we have no hold on it. It just shows you that there's 37 million. But is the DG able to direct this 37 million to go and make a better impact elsewhere, rather than going to Love Life? It can't. It's not.
Honourable Chair, thank you. Seriously, if it will mean that it will improve our relationship, I say let Love Life just go.
No, really, we've been discussing this.
Chair, let me confess to you, that I have no power over the decision on whether Love Life should stay or go.
Now, DG, let me tell you the honest fact. And this message you must hear. Let us tell you the honest fact. Unfortunately, we are the arbiter of this budget. And we will not appropriate for Love Life. Never.
I would hope with a new BRRR, you would intervene prior to us getting to that stage. So that the caution of honorable members that the people should not suffer on the ground because is taken on board. But on a serious note, Chair, I really would hope that you would interrogate the Finance Committee and Parliament Chair on this matter. It is a matter that is put on departments because of an agreement centrally negotiated with the Kaiser Foundation and with line departments. And so, unfortunately, what it does in sport and recreation is it projects that we give less prominence to federations or core function vis-a-vis Love Life. So we have complete sympathy and we're in agreement with the committee. For as long as it's on our budget share, the commitment that we're giving to you is we will push them as far as possible to make the linkages with sport and to make sure that what they do is in the interest of the work of the federations and not counter to that. We've heard previously the concerns of the committee. We've had, since you raised this, certainly since I've been here, I've met every meeting of heads of departments, I've summoned Love Life to come and present and account. We've given them feedback on where we're not happy and where we want improvements. The last time we engaged with them, we said we now want to bring an external company on board, even if it means spending money, to do a thorough evaluation of the work of Love Life, and that must give me a basis. And I must firstly must answer the question how it advances as a sport, how it strengthens it, and whether in fact we can be assured that in terms of the impact on HIV and AIDS, we can have the confidence that the money that we're investing does that. If I have that information, I can, as an accounting officer, engage with them. So I said, we've made that decision. Let's invest, and I've given them advance notice. I want a thorough evaluation of Love Life to happen. So in as far as it within our control, we have kind of strengthened accountability, and we say, let's take it a step further to do that program evaluation. Beyond that, I call on the committee really to intercede on our behalf. Thanks.
Okay. Just a quick one. I saw Mr. Pori was taking a break, but I think the DG neatly captured it in his input. That can also form part of the recommendations that we are making to Parliament in terms of this budget.
Now, DG, we'll capture what you are doing now, and then we'll make recommendation because we have to make these kind of recommendations. But our concern, I think you're aware of our concern around it. I'm happy about it, and then you can go on to it.
Chair, I will also cover the question relating to talent identification and how it contributes to sport development. I think the question was relating to our sport scientific support services directorate reporting in the annual report. Here what happens is that we have to understand that the mandate of the department is to assist with sport development and to ensure that all components of sport development, that means it's inclusive of community sport, school sport, but not the highest levels which SASCO is responsible for. The sports science program works through provincial academies of sport, through high performance centers, as well as some of the tertiary institutions which have these facilities. Now, the national athletes, coaches, are the ones who are the beneficiaries of these programs. Without the kind of scientific support that they need in modern sport, they would lag behind further than they are at the moment. So the interventions that are made are of a scientific and a technical nature through these points of service delivery, if I can put it that way. They are monitored both in terms of the output of these service providers on an individual per athlete basis as to what are the reports that we receive for each athlete, what are the interventions, and each athlete signs off the report, so that verifies the number of visits, for example, to a physiotherapist, or the number of times a coach has made interventions with these athletes, the number of times they would have had a sports scientist attend to them or a medical doctor. So all of this information is reported on a per head basis, and we find that there are positive changes here. These show in terms of the variables that are measured, and you can see that there is progress with these athletes. Some of them do progress because it's not just a question of identifying the talent, as one of the honorable members pointed out, that we've got to, once that talent is identified, you've got to stay with that athlete and provide continued support so that they develop further. So these athletes could be in school or they could be out of school, and what happens is then we ensure that by continuing the service that we provide to them, there's a smooth transition between the development side and going into high performance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
I really thought that I'll get the specialist to cover all the areas. I want to ask the question, if you can just deal with the further questions asked by Mr. Kora on the Honorable Kora, yes. The issue around the directors of the minister, page 71.8. While you check that, maybe the CEO may want to comment on the mass participation questions.
Gigi, the mass participation, let's put the mass participation aside up until the kind of work that you said that you're going to do and then give us a feedback. School sport, we can talk about school sport. But that mass participation, I say, you say, you are also as much as concerned like us, like the Auditor General, about the impact of the mass participation. So that kind of a work that we're going to do, let it come, DG, because let me tell you the honest fact, DG. These numbers of 4 million and all those other things, I am not completely convinced that is a kind of an area that the department has covered around mass participation and all those. Let's do a little bit of a work, and ourselves too. We're going around, we'll tell you what is going on around mass participation day. Let's talk about mass participation and its output. Whether the mass participation, Gigi, how is it relating to national federations that are ready? Are we able to take the mass participation, hand over those talents that is ready to the federation? What is the relationship of the mass participation and the clubs and the federation? So those kind of things are issues that we have to sit down and talk about them, because to us they make sense. To us they make sense in that way, because it's a relay. You don't just go there to Upington and create an excitement to children. From there, tomorrow you are gone. That excitement is gone. No, it's sustainable. It's continuous. To say from school, after school, you go to the clubs. And then when you graduate from the clubs, you go to a federation. From the federation, then you've seen what you wanted to do with your own talent. That is the kind of a discussion that we want to engage in. It's not just a cosmetic one. Very clear discussion around that.
Thank you, Chair. You've given us some very clear guidelines, and to perhaps develop our own specifications for that investigation and debate to happen. Of course, we've also been thinking, earlier this year been to a sitting of the select committee where they've invited all the provinces Of course, they forgot to invite us as the transferring department. Maybe you will have more foresight to invite us and the provinces together when we do have that engagement, so that we can directly confront provinces, you know, also about these things. Because all these figures really reflect the work that happens at that level. But I've noted that guidelines, and I really look forward to a much in-depth discussion, Chair. The CEO would want to respond to some of the other schools. Oh, Ms. Snyder.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm going to try to respond to capture many of the issues raised around school sport. And I think the first question asked by the Honourable Member, Donald Lee, in terms of Department of Basic Education and the commitments from Department of Basic Education. And I think we've come in and we've presented jointly with regard to the policy and having, you know, worked through what our roles and responsibilities are. Once again, I think the issue there that the Honourable Member has raised is the issue of commitment of teachers. And I think that is a bigger discussion and a greater political discussion as well in terms of our role over teachers. But just to take this on further, and the Honourable Cedric had also raised the question around school sport, and other members have also raised it, the role of federations. And more members have raised this question. And just to say that, I would like to say that maybe when we're capturing the whole discussion on MPD, that we should be delivering on this now in terms of integrating the work of federations together with school sport. And we've actually been very successful in this nationally with the provinces. At our provincial conference of federations at SRSA, with the codes that we are working in, we've had one-to-ones with all federations. The only federation we have not met yet is rugby. And in terms of, we've actually found it as a good way of getting school sports structures and federations to jointly plan, federations to take responsibility for the areas of development with regard to, and when we talk participants, I think what the Honourable Members have been saying, coaches, managers, technical officials, administrators, etc., and also now through the service level agreements we're signing with both structures jointly, the issue of targets, and I think transformation comes in there, the issue of race, rural, gender, disability. And currently, we've got a draft monitoring tool in order to make us work this way. And I'm speaking in terms of having reviewed last financial year and moving in this financial year. So to say that perhaps when we do come back and we can have a full presentation, we would be able to present, I think, greater on this. We've identified February as being the period for the launch of the national code structures.
Are you dealing with school sport?
Yeah.
I think you're right. And very soon, because the calendar, I don't want to say the so-called calendar of school sport. The calendar for school sport that I have, I can vouch now and say, here's the calendar of sport, I got it from the minister. Can you drive and go to Fujian School on a Wednesday and check whether there will be any activity of school sport there? It's a calendar that speaks to itself, but it's got nothing to do with the reality on the ground. I can say, go to Port Elizabeth. In any school, maybe by accident you'll get to White School, school sports going on there. To any school, and check whether there's school sports going on there. But that document, the calendar for school sport, had not taken into consideration that there are schools that do not even have a schoolyard for sport in their yard. The yard is so small in school that you can't make a sports facility there. And there is a school opposite to that, and these kids have to go and request there. But the school belongs to Great College, to St. Mary's, and to Bishop, and then doesn't allow those kids to go on. No consideration, even on the footprint of that document, where such a consideration is made. I'm saying, take that calendar and check whether you'll be proud to be a member of this sports and recreation with a calendar that speaks on itself and then doesn't speak to the reality on the ground.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Noted. We're hoping again, I think, in terms of if we can be called back to do a presentation, and this is the request we've made of provinces together with the federations and school structures, and mentioning Grays, we've just done a meeting and a workshop with the school sports structure and the province last week already, and that is the request, because the request is the launch of leagues, and a league would start from clusters of schools right up to national level. And so those are basically the two key things we're saying, infrastructure and the league program to deal with that. To the Honorable Member, JJ, who spoke about the issue of this year's events, they are going to go ahead. Yes, events had to be postponed in September due to the protracted public sector strike. And the catch-up programs by the provinces in terms of Department of Education, the December programs are going to go on, and so will the March programs that are already scheduled. Those are on track. Thank you.
DG?
Thank you, Chair. Just a few of the MPP as well as client support questions that may have been left out so far. Honorable Lee, just on Ratelgat of die vertoe van die mense van Ratelgat is met 'n baie duidelik stel. The fact of the matter is that again this relates to indigenous games, and we deliver the festival of indigenous games provincially and nationally, but key to this is the work that the provinces do at the local level. And you will recall that when you went there, I linked you up to the HOD in the province to advise you about how they involved with this particular community. And that's exactly the point of how important it is for us to have that engagement for better understanding of how programs such as the Indigenous Games are being promoted. But indeed, yes, people do take it seriously, and we would really like, and it's the one activity that's more on the recreational side. We would really like to see this being expanded. The minister will tell you that all sport somehow are indigenous in nature, and so in South Africa we must develop and treasure these sports. And so, it kind of expresses our South Africanness. Honourable,
the question really was whether they were. You know, as stakeholders, were they involved and invited, and were they sort of
The answer that I'm saying to you is because of the level, the local level, where they interact with the provinces, it's really difficult for me to say whether or not that is the case.
Is it, DG, when you were in Durban, we talk about dissolution of provinces. The ANC is very serious about that. Because this thing that Donald is asking you. I'm saying this thing that is asking you, and where the DG says, but that area belongs to province, I can go up to this far. But in as far as who comes, who participates, and all the nitty-gritties, we have left them to provinces. Provinces are not doing anything. And to us, the ANC, province have no use. Let's get rid of them, and then we have a province. DG must be a regional director, what? And then we are able to deliver these things to our people, does it?
Noted, Honorable Chair.
Mackenzie wants to be the premier of the Western Cape. We shall have dissolved Western Cape that time. You're just wasting your time.
Okay, DG, thank you. Chair, the question asked by Honorable Grace related to the formal question posed to the minister. I think if...
Alliance.
At some point, I should really clarify the Dali issue. But she's advising me not to.
Okay.
We'll leave that one now for now. But the point, the question is, you know, whether the National Department will be able to intervene in a specific community for a particular group of people. And of course, you're asking this in relation to some of the things that we have flagged, those individual projects in our report. It's extremely difficult because, Chair, we get lots and lots of these type of requests from local communities for support. And here I must be clear about how we process it. And sometimes when we process it, we assume that it's being dealt with and there's no feedback provided. And so we've got to improve that feedback loop. Generally, when we get requests from communities, our first point of call is to make contact with the province that we give the money to through the mass participation. You will know that we don't keep this money ourselves. All the money for direct service delivery is being transferred to the province through the MPP. So it's then our role to encourage the province to try and respond to the need of that specific community. So where it can happen, where it's possible, and the province can fit it into their plans for the year in terms of the targets that they've set, they will try and accommodate it. And so more often than not, so some of the examples we've shared with you earlier is where we've now partnered with the provinces and really tried to here and there strengthen the work that they do as a province already. The second approach that we follow for specific requests is that we have a partnership with the Sport Trust. And I really want us to look at ways, I've asked that we look at ways of extending that. Where we say to the Sport Trust, you know, we're a national department. We don't get involved in a local level. But it's like OKIP. There's nothing precluding us from giving you money and say, go and support the community from OKIP. So we're not getting involved directly. Of course, you know, if we get to the point where we then get our transfer, the money we receive for transfers to NGOs and federations, if that increases, we can expand that type of support. For now, it's really difficult with the limited amount of money that we transfer to federations. We keep some of that money, we give to NGOs, and we say, tackle special projects because of the peculiar need. These are rural provinces, there's really nothing happening. So that's the second way we try to help. The third way is, of course, based on the assumption that we transfer funding to federations, but more importantly, because we believe that federations, it's their primary responsibility to develop and administer clubs at the local level as the basic component for participation in sport. And so that is our first point of call. We have been, of course, saying to the lottery that it's not acceptable that struggling or upcoming clubs are unable to access this funding, and that's the point that I've made earlier. The agreement that we now have with Lotto is that they will allow other organizations to help and apply on behalf of some of these structures. So there's a whole different range of activities, and I think in the reply of the minister, he was merely trying to point out that, you know, truth be told, the way that this should happen is alternatively either through the federations or through the lotto or through the provinces.
DG, I am now getting convinced that money must go to provinces. Then ourselves, do not have expectation that where we're going, there are people that can come to you and say, that community, it's in dire stress. Because as things they are now, we also have an impression that, but the DG can go somewhere and help people from Etsofimvaba or in Limpopo elsewhere. If that's the case, let this money go to them, and then it must not be our own baby.
Well, this is what we're saying the conditional grant is about. We need the mechanisms that province use to determine where they spend and how they spend the money, you know, the little detail that this committee requires.
But I don't think their appropriation will be done by us on the conditional grant.
I'm saying, Chair, in as far...
It must come from National Treasury straight, it must go to their provinces. We must not come and sit up at this time of the evening asking you about the conditional grant that we don't have a hold on it. We must not do that.
Chair, this is the question we posed earlier about the exit strategy on the one hand, whether we should give it to the provinces. If we give it to the provinces, the danger I must caution the committee is that it will be swallowed in the provincial budgets and sport will suffer. The provinces have their own way of prioritizing. They prioritize the so-called C department, social development, health, education.
But as it is, DG, do we have anything to do about it? We don't.
Chairperson, with the
then an answer that the minister has given to Honorable Tseki, that we don't have anything, we don't have anything to do about it. So why should we keep it?
We're saying that the mechanism is through the provinces by virtue of the conditional grant. And I understand your concern and your anger, actually. So what I'm saying is that's exactly what the weakness is of the conditional grant. And that's why we've been talking about the need to strengthen the monitoring, the evaluation, the impact analysis, the value for money question. That's the whole basis of our engagement, getting to the kind of detail that you require. But because it's a conditional grant, Chair, we have that control. You vote that money. You approve it to give it to the provinces. And therefore, there must be some level of accountability. I'm saying we're not at that point where we can account to the extent that we should to this committee. It's a confession that I'm making. And we've agreed that at least there we're on the same level and we need to address that issue. I'm going to ask the Chief Director of Corporate Services to pick up on some of the corporate matters, Chair, with your permission.
Regarding the resignations and transfers, 19 people transferred and resigned in the department. But there is an information given on page 42 of the report where we explain.
Can you bring that closer to you, sis?
Okay.
Thank you.
Where we explain properly how those people transferred and whether we had one a death in the department, five employees' contracts expired, and those are the people that are appointed on contract linked to the term of the minister. So when the term of the minister ends, then those fixed contracts expire. So it's quite a huge number because there were five employees there. And then there was one employee who was dismissed, and one took an early retirement. There was also an incapacity leave. I'm also including the question asked by the member to say this person resigned after incapacity. And then also 8 people transferred to other departments. The other question that I would want to touch on, it doesn't relate to corporate services per se, but we are involved in that question. Is a mass participation question on the issue of the 6% of people that should be appointed by the provinces to actually build capacity in the provinces. And the member asked, what are the challenges? Why are they not employing people? There are many challenges. The first challenge we were told by the provinces that is the issue of delegations. The delegations in the provinces lie with MECs. So MECs do not want to appoint at the time when the cycle of the grant requires them to appoint, and sometimes they just decide that no, it can't be done. Another question is the question of the screening of people in the department, screening before and after. The member was actually asking, why are we finding people with criminal records that are already in the department? Why were they not screened before they came to the department? The answer to that question is that the national vetting strategy kicked in 2008. Before 2008, there was no requirement for people lower than SMS level to be screened in the department by NIA. So it only started in 2008 that everyone employed in any public service department must be screened. So the most people were already in the department, but they apply for posts within senior posts within the department. So there is a requirement that they be screened That's why we were able to pick up one person who was dismissed later, who didn't declare a criminal record. Another question is the question of employment equity. It's in page 57 of the report. I think the report is very clear. We tried to show it clearly to the members that as a department we don't comply in terms of the requirements, the 50-50 requirement. It was approved by cabinet, and we came up with measures within the department where we came up with policies on how we're going to implement. But the challenge is that at senior management level, especially in the Department of Sport, I think we have the skill in this sports department, especially in the line function, is very scarce. The skills to attract women are very scarce, so it's very, very difficult to find women at those levels, especially in the line function. Yes, in the support service, corporate, you can easily find women in those positions. So we're not complying as a department. As you can see, even top management, at the moment, we have one vacancy at top management. The position of the chief director, mass participation, is still vacant. And I don't want members to be surprised. We may recruit a man, although the requirement is for a woman who's supposed to employ a woman in that position, because the targets require that we employ a woman, but it's very difficult. And we're really not complying at all, even at the lower level, level 13, we're not complying. We're sitting at 46% for women. We're trying very hard, and I think if we compare with other departments, maybe we're better off than others. It's very difficult to find people at those levels. There was also a question on sick leave. I think the member was shocked by the high numbers of sick leave there. But those numbers that are reported there are cycle numbers. There is a 3-year cycle of 36 days per that cycle per one person. So when we give a report like this, we give a total. As we sit here, we would come up with a very big number if we add all those 36 days times the number of people. So it's quite a very small number. And I must say, I come from a very big department where people are really abusing leave. But in the sport department, people are not really, you find pockets of people abusing leaves here and there, but the majority of people are really compliant, they're not abusing leave. Another question, I think it was a repetition of the question that I've already addressed, the issue of the failure to declare a criminal record. We deal with cases like that. We do have even a disciplinary hearing that is going to sit now in November for one official that didn't declare a criminal record. In page 33 of the report, we reported cases. I don't know, Chair, whether you want me to go through the cases.
No.
Okay.
No. But I just want you to check this. You are struggling to get women in the line function of sport. What is your succession plan? Do you have those women that you have sent to different universities or school deliberately so that when they come back, they're able to get into a department? Because you can't slowly say it is difficult and you don't have a plan on how do you address that matter. And then you must say, for now, we have DG who's 28 years, and then now we have Ubudana who's 62, and in 3 years time Budana would be off. What is this that I do so that as soon as Budana exit, and then a woman younger would be coming in, and you are beginning to address what is at hand with you now, rather than saying, hey, it is difficult to get a man, because your government policy says women has to come up to a level of men too in all respects. You are trying, DG, but if you are trying, well, then you are not able to achieve that. To us, you have to say, this is what I'm doing to try to achieve that goal. It can't be something that the DG raise their hands and say, hey, Chairperson, I can't get it and all that. I will ask you, what do you do for you to be able to do it, to get it? And that was something that I was expecting that I would get and say, however, this is a plan that we are trying to do for us to be able to at least bring the mixture of men and women in the department. But it's okay. It's okay.
Perhaps I should just say, Chair, the issue of succession, scarce skills, I do hope that we will give attention to that. We've not up to now. At the senior management level, I think although we've not achieved the 50-50, I think we're something like 40-60 currently, 46%. So it's really not that alarming. This, whilst I should not speak out of processes of recruitment, my chief director of corporate services made a comment that I must challenge. He said, we're likely to appoint a man for chief director of corporate services. Let me also say, without talking out of the process, we're also likely to appoint a woman. Just to balance out the two. So it's not completely true that we're only likely to appoint a man, we're also likely to appoint a woman. Either way. But, Chair, I think a member also raised earlier in the day the question of revitalizing the issue of women in sport broadly. We've recently started to open up that discussion again, and we are saying that not only women in sport, but also women within the organization and how we advance the women and promote women through our bursary policy, for example, in areas of sport-specific direction of study, also the issue of how we help develop women middle managers in particular in terms of the succession. But I'm saying these things must now be concretized within our policies around succession specifically.
Is there anything DG left?
I was going to say the issue of succession is addressed in the HR plan, but the immediate plan now is not to get people to fill the present vacant positions by using the HR plan that we have. We really need people to fill those positions now without even going to the route of taking people and give them bursaries so that at a later stage they can actually occupy those positions. We are actually under pressure to meet the targets required by government. Otherwise, we stand a risk of even be qualified in that area. And for the cases, we don't have many litigation cases, Chair. Very few. We have one that's sitting at the Labour Court now in November. The other ones were still exchanging pleadings. The advocates are sitting at changing pleadings. So we're just reporting them in the annual report. Otherwise, we will finalize them very soon. Thank you.
See if I can just revert back to Professor Singh to cover two of the issues.
Okay, Chair. The issue of sport facilities, the question raised was there's workshops being held in municipalities, but we don't know where those municipalities are, and there are mobile gyms being installed in certain communities. Again, what criteria are used, and where are these gyms placed? I don't have the specific information here, but we can make that available. We do have that information in the department. The question relating to foreign nationals, I would just like to respond and give a little bit of background as well here that the issue of foreign nationals is regulated by the National Sport and Recreation Act as amended in 2007, which gives the minister the power to coordinate the application of permits, work permits or visas for foreign nationals that enter South Africa for the purposes of sport and recreation. And this is specifically guided by Section 13A of the Act, which says that the recruitment of sport and recreation persons must be done in a manner that promotes equity, representativity, and redress in sport and recreation. So sport organizations have been advised in this regard to liaise with the department as well as SASCOC before employing foreign sport and recreation persons, so that, as the department, we can do a proper evaluation of their motivation in this regard. And after evaluation of that application, then the department makes a recommendation to the Department of Home Affairs regarding the issuing of this work permit. The full details regarding the procedures for the application of the work permit for foreign sport or recreation persons were outlined in a letter signed by our DG, dated 26 March 2010, addressed to all national sport and recreation federations. And in addition, on various occasions, the Deputy Minister, in his speeches, specifically included the content and the regulations relating to this issue to various national audiences relating to sport. On the issue of Tawarira, who the press refers to as a beast, the following are the facts of the matter then. One, he came into the country on a scarce skills permit, and he continued to play for the South African national rugby team, although he was not a South African national. SRSA did advise him of the legal requirements that he had to fulfill, and the rules of rugby do make provision for exceptional cases relating to the selection or employment of foreign nationals. However, as a national government department, we had to apply our legislation in the first instance and not the rules of rugby. The position of the minister was based on our common law. The department is in the process of making relevant amendments to the Act, and at the moment, the department has a draft MOU signed with the Department of Home Affairs to collaboratively regulate the provisions of the National Sport and Recreation Act. We find that in the past, the issue was that while we had an act, there was nothing that compelled the Department of Home Affairs to implement the provisions of our act. So what was happening is, because of the way the Immigration Act is structured, and the way the Department of Home Affairs structures its functions, that they manage this in provinces. And so what happens is that if somebody applies and they want to short-circuit the system or beat the system as such, they would go and apply to a remote area in some remote province and get their work permit. So the suggestion to the Department of Home Affairs was to amend the Immigration Act and to centralize this function so that there's direct control, and so there is collaboration at this point in time in terms of improving the management of these situations. The question relating to the capacity of the department to deal with these applications, at the moment, if we look at the past financial year, we get about 20 cases per year. And we have one dedicated staff member within international relations who deals with the process, and the average turnaround time, in other words, for the whole process, is usually around 10 working days. The challenge we have here is that quite often, if we do get an application coming through a sport organization, that they do not provide all of the relevant information up front. So we struggle to get bits and pieces of information, and those are the applications then that would take longer than the average turnaround time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Just to perhaps to close that part, to say that I've also, with my team, met the DG Home Affairs to work towards the memorandum of agreement between us and Home Affairs to really expedite this process. So we've made some progress in that regard, although I know where the frustrations come from, Honourable Frolic, and we're quite aware. We have streamlined. Just on the beast, sometimes, you know, we take a public position and the minister is the person who must take a public position. And I think Honorable Frolic was saying that it's causing embarrassment and so on. But quietly behind the scenes, when we know the issue really is that Home Affairs must now finalize his application for citizenship. So whilst this matter was being played out, I've had direct discussions with Home Affairs, really urging that they deal with this issue of his citizenship in order for us to close this matter. So it's not as if we're standing aside or if Home Affairs did something without us prompting. It was our way of saying to them, ultimately, that's how it should be resolved. But for now, on the face of it, in terms of public sentiment and compliance with the law, unfortunately, we had to take through the minister the position that we took. Similarly, also with the Honourable Chair, just to cover on the, and I know it's been very controversial, the matter related to our golden girl, Caster Semenya, a lot of work that we have done behind the scene to make sure that, you know, her rights are protected internationally, there's engagement with the International Federation, you know, to make sure that she is respected, you know, the gold medal. But more importantly, to respond to a question directly about why we do not celebrate a victory in the same way as that of Zola, but I think perhaps just to say, we have done some work in that regard. You may recall that we've said that there must be, in the absence of the National Sports Awards, we said let there be celebrations in the provinces at the local level. We've had celebrations in the Free State that we've paid for outside of our budget. We've had celebrations in Limpopo. We've paid. We've engaged with artists who wrote songs about her. There's been quite a bit of work that we've done really to try and celebrate Custer's victory. Of course, we believe that still a lot more could have been done if it was not for Custer herself and her wanting to get into a program and focusing on the sport and really not to to be distracted too much. But we have worked very closely with her to try and really give adequate recognition.
Now, DG, you see, when you close, I'll give it to you, Cedric, just, you see, when Quora raises the issue of what is this that we do as a department in celebration of this, you know, it's asking you something that the department is doing alone behind the scenes. We don't know about it. And nobody would be a better advocate for what you are doing as a department better than us. Nobody. Now, Cora justified that no, there's nothing that is happening about Caster Semenya. He just hears about the celebration in Bloemfontein about Caster Semenya. But in essence, it's a celebration started by our own department in honor of Caster Semenya, but you are doing it alone there, and then you don't know. The other thing that is in this report, DG, in terms of the rules of the National Assembly, the minister, the deputy minister, are supposed to inform this portfolio committee of their deputation in all these countries that they are going during the year and come and give a report here. You just see a full page of the minister going out, the deputy minister going out, in and out, and all that. But who are the people that are having a constitutional responsibility to know and accountability that the minister and the deputy minister, where they are going, is what is related to sport, and then it is exactly the what is going to advance our sport in the country. We've never gotten any single report here. Maybe we'll ask him about that. But the requirements are there should be that kind of a report. It cannot be on the other side and then other people on this side, and that we'll make our own conclusion and at times wrong conclusion about what is going on there. Now, the last thing before I give to Cedric, there's a person called Teron. Don't know who's Teron, but it's somebody in the department who's dealing with internationalizing, Theron. That Theron, write letters to the Department of Home Affairs and make all the mitigation around the permit for foreign nationals and sign that. And the Home Affairs approves it. And then it is given. I'm not telling you a story now. I'm telling you, I've never met the guy called Theron. But when I was discussing with the chair of Home Affairs, and then around these matters, why are Santana coming into the country and there's nothing, and then tomorrow you'll hear that no, Cosa and any other person, they've just gone to pick up a work permit of Joel Santana of the national team. Who's authorizing this thing? That's where I pick up this Theron. I don't know who's that person. He's retired. Yes, you see. So it is right. It is. I thought maybe somebody powerful standing somewhere, it was a junior clerk in the department who signed those things, and then they go to the Department of Home Affairs. Department of Home Affairs approves those kind of things.
It's now under Professor Singh, and they report to him, so hopefully
yeah.
He can account.
No, I am giving him a information because Mr. Singh doesn't make a replication of 14 members alone, so we'll pick up whatever happens there, Mr. Singh, around these foreign players. We'll pick it up. Yeah. Cedric, just say one thing that I want to say. I'm just about to close.
No, Chairperson, I think it's important, just for the sake of this meeting, and you are aware of it, Chairperson, that the President of Rugby, SARL, Mr. Oregon Hoskins himself, came to share his frustration with the Chairperson of this committee and myself around the circumstances surrounding this player, the Beast, and also almost the aggressive stance that was taken in terms of interactions between the department and SARU on the matter. We advised the President of SARU after another attempt that he made at the Super 14 final at Orlando Stadium to take the matter directly up with the President of the country, which he did. And he was subsequently referred to the Minister of Home Affairs, who dealt with the matter. And we made attempts to talk to the Deputy Minister around the matter, but once again there was no indication to what you are telling us now, DG, of what the department has done behind the scenes. Maybe there was a reason why it was not shared, at least with the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee that was approached by the President of SARU. You see, all that we ask for is consistency around these matters, because I can recall just after Parliament passed the Sport and Recreation Amendment Bill in 2007. The very same department, after we became aware that Eddie Jones was employed by SARU as a technical advisor while he was in the country on the visitor's permit and was being remunerated, only 7 days later was a work permit issued, which meant that for 7 days Eddie Jones applied his trade illegally in the country. And we brought that to the attention of the department. I don't know if you can recall, Chairperson, we actually had a documentary fact proof that was given to us by people in SARU that it was the case, and the department did absolutely nothing about it. In fact, Eddie Jones was handsomely rewarded for the role that he played with the national rugby team at the time. Now, we don't know, is it because Eddie Jones happened to be a white Australian and the Beast happened to be a black Zimbabwean? And we just plead that we have consistency when we deal with matters of this nature.
Thank you. In closing, DG, I'm sure you're aware that I have not asked questions. Yeah, I have questions, many of the questions, that, and that is why I was thrilled, because I could see Comrade Cora say some of the things that I wanted to raise, because I had the privilege of not going to Italy and read this document this time. Oh. It, Now, you see, DG, from page 12.
Didn't you read it in India?
No. From page 12. From page 12, DG, leave the provocateurs, DG. From page 12 up until to page, almost page 113 and elsewhere, there are many questions out of this annual report that I would wanted to deal with them, DG. But I would like you, DG, to write this and just write me this explanation. One thing, DG, that I want you work on it as from now is this Zone 6 case. That this committee do not know exactly what is all about the Zone 6 games and what is going on there. And these Zone 6 games, they have a history of the funds that are appropriated by this committee, and they are happening elsewhere, and then we just hear by the wind that there are those Zone 6 games. I want me and you to work around the delegation of this Zone 6 game to Swaziland in December, so that we start it from there. The second thing, DG, is the soccer recs. That's starting page 12. And the department also coordinates the government participation on both the 2010 and the soccer recs and all that. Who actually participated on the soccer recs? Is the department or is the ministry? Because the other view, when I went to Santin, when the World Cup was there on that soccer recs, is people are conducting business and their coaches and all these other things there and all that. I just want to check this coordination of government to this draw of soccer recs and all that. What was it? What was it all about? Then the other thing that I want to know, DG, the department, I think it's for some time now, even before you arrive, we went to another place, I can't remember the place, where there are two clubs fighting for that big team that is hot like a train container, somewhere in the Eastern Cape. Right at the top there, Cedric, I don't know what is the name of the place. There was a gym there. It was a Grimstone. There was a gym there, which is an insult to our people, that gym. That's what I said when I saw that gym. When it is hot, 45 degrees, and kids are coming from school, and then in the afternoon they have to go to that gym, it's completely inhuman for children to get into that gym, a container, like a train carriage, and people must gym there. I'm interested to know, these gyms that we are talking about here, what are those things? Because the one that I saw, which is having a Springbok emblem, where we will go, where the other time, and then I said it very clear that whoever has come with the concept of those gyms, that black people, it's good for them to do those gyms in that hot container in a hot summer. When it is cold, it's snowy, that thing is more colder than outside. Yeah. And then I want to know this kind of a gym. And whose concept is it of the gym that these people have to use? And that if it is what I've seen there, DG, it is something that is shocking. It is not a gym that we can talk about. I'm interested in these gyms to know what are these gyms. And if we can get the sample of those gyms, we will take a shuttle, all of us, and go and see that gym immediately. These gyms that they're given to these people. Did you, on the other page, 70, these values of RSA is fairness, dedication, innovation, integrity, and all. I have thought that the first value that this Department of Sports and Recreation will put an emphasis on it is patriotism. And all these others would come thereafter. And fairness, dedication, innovation, and integrity. I think all those follow the dedication and patriotism for these people to say, my country first and other things second. But that value is not there. Maybe it was by omission that that value must not be there. The minister must issue guidelines for promotion of equity, representation and redress in sports and recreation. I have not seen those guidelines since 3 years or 2 years ago. No, 3 years ago, since the act has been passed. I've never seen those guidelines speaking to the correctness of the Sports Act as it was passed by this House. Maybe there are reasons why we put those guidelines there, which have not been seen up until today, those guidelines. On the very same page 18, downstairs there, overview of the service delivery environment, DG. That one we'll talk about it. Okay. The department speaks about transformation continue to be an environmental challenge due to the fundamentals of lack of equitable funding being directed to the this area, and blockage also remains instrument. I have to say, DG, with the greatest humility, our department is not a proponent of transformation. Transformation is agitated by these members and get insulted on the radio and all that. But for the department to be deliberate on transformation, I want us to discuss that. They say, Honorable Chair, our deliberate intervention on transformation is there. You can see it is working. At school level, at club level, at any other level, that transformation is not, I've not seen it. Somebody must tell me that it is there, transformation. And transformation is critical. It's a center pillar of what the African National Congress is all about. And this department cannot push it to the periphery and talk about transformation and say facilities are an impediment to transformation. It can't be. Whilst the facilities are, yes, an impediment, but it cannot be the alpha and omega of the transformation, and therefore must close doors and not do any other thing and say the transformation cannot occur because there are the transformation in totality. I want us to engage on the department around transformation. We're not talking about transformation of Vennie Peters in black and J.J. White and all that. We're talking about real transformation of women who have substance and credence, who are administrators of sport in this country. Where are they? Who are coaches of sport in this country? Where are they? You get in all federation, 12 of them in this province, only one woman in the Free State is a CEO of a federation, let alone in football. Football, you can't get there. And that is the kind of transformation that we're talking about. And it cannot be the business of the portfolio committee. We are not a department to be the proponent of a transformation. The department must run with the transformation agenda. It is the core business of the department, not our business. On page 33, safety at sports and recreational events bill, and recreational events bill was approved by Parliament and will be promulgated and what on the 2010 and all. Safety at the sports and recreational events regulation were drafted and will be finalized after the promulgation of the Principal Act. I don't understand this. Because the act has been passed. Because the amendment, after March. Yes. In the next. But centrally to this, DG, is in all the bills that we've been passing this house, how many workshops have been taken through by Federation to assimilate them of the new ventures around the act that we've promulgated in this parliament? I have not heard of any. And that is why you'll find your agenda as the department goes that way, but you are not singing from the same page, because it is the department that has to say, our intention as the department to give to portfolio committee this bill, you are able to pronounce it very clear because it is your brainchild that has been given to parliament, and parliament passed that kind of a bill. And then I just want to know, not just the special measures bill and all that, the two important bills that were passed in this parliament, where have the department has called all federation and have a workshop and say there is this show? Because there is no report of, we had a workshop and we've made federation to understand the implications of the new act that were put in place. There's no, in this document that I've read, there's no way where it is mentioned. And that is why you find federations are likely to blunder, because they are not put in a proper same understanding with the department around the bills that have been passed by this house. DG, on the Auditor General, the report, he raises issues that you have raised. But one thing good about the department is that this report is an unqualified report. That's one thing very good about it. The Auditor General raises something that is a significant uncertainty about the department on contingent liability, which you have talked about. We are happy about it. And then, DG, you are correct in that one. There's no problem about it. He speaks about the fruitless expenditure and wasteful expenditure of 7.2 million, which was disclosed in the note 26, and which 5 million relates to a prior year, 5 million, and 2.2 million relates to a current year. The amount relating to the current year was incurred as a result of a double booking. Now, this double booking, members have raised this double booking, but it doesn't come up and say, what is this double booking that you're talking about? Who is this person who has done the double booking? Was this person belonging to a chain supply, or was just a person who was passing by and he felt that he must do the work of other people, and then who has mandated that person to do that, and then where? This has become a hot potato. No ownership of this. Yet, it is claimed here as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Fine, DG, don't. We just note it, and then we will discuss them in the next round when you come late. The 704,000 was disclosed, and payment was made to DASA, Youth Conference, in prior years. These payments were not in accordance with the purpose of the vote and the purpose of the main division of the vote. Now, DG, as an accounting officer, DG, how do you appropriate this money when you know that it was not in accordance with the purpose of the vote, and when you know the purpose of this main division was not to cater for this thing? How is that happening? And expect committee to say, no, let us condone that with the Auditor General and all those other things. You know what is going to lead DG to? And DG must accept those churches that would come and request for their own mass participation, because we have set a precedent. We have set a precedent of saying, yes, whilst members of parliament, we are not in a capacity to can do any other mass participation, but for the church, we are in a position to do that. Then we must cater for the church mass participation of any other church that members would request, because we have set a precedent on that. Or, Honorable DG, recover the money, then the matter is closed. Yet there will be no queue of churches that are requesting for a help from the department. The last point, the department, PFMA and Treasury regulation. The department did not, in all instances, settle its credit, its creditors within 30 days from receipt of the invoice. That is Treasury Regulation number 8 of 2 and 3. This is a very small thing. A very small thing that any other person say, but we must pay in terms of the law. People who have done work for us in 30 days. Why is Ms. Matlala not paying these people in 30 days? Let me get a privilege of getting the answer on this short one. Why is Ms. Matlala not paying these people in 30 days as per regulation? Can you answer that one only, DG?
Chairperson, I think the key is in all instances, I think Mr. Matlala is able to give, perhaps it's something that we try to track in terms of the percentage and how we're doing, because we know if it doesn't happen, how it impacts on particularly small micro and medium businesses. Jay, in some instances, unfortunately, there are things that makes it extremely difficult. Some documentation not being received, you know, in time for us to process this. In some other instances, it may be as a result of some managers not signing off because they're traveling. But generally, perhaps let me just ask him what the current statistic is in this regard, and perhaps you may want to expand on the response, CFM.
Thank the Chairperson, Honorable Chair again, and members. I think most of the issues relate to compliance issues. Like, for example, sometimes, or in most cases, if a payment is more than 30,000, that service provider must produce a valid tax certificate. So you find out with the struggle with these companies to get a valid tax certificate. As a result, it delays the payment. And one of the other common issues, Chairperson, is the issue of the banking details. Because if you know that in public service there was a lot of fraud, and now there is a system that Treasury has introduced, which is trying to match the banking details that companies submit to us. So before we pay into an account, Treasury needs to approve that. And if you miss, for example, one weight in a name of a company, the system rejects it. And as a result, so those delays, some of them are technical and caused by such incident. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it has improved at this stage, because we are sitting at almost 60 days now.
Okay. Now, I hear what you say, Mr. Matal. I don't want to cause more problems, but as and when you speak, when I think, you provoke me and say, how is this procurement of the department is done? Without first checking whether this person pays tax, you give him the work. And later, and say, let me check you, whether do you comply in terms of tax issues. I think the issue of the tax comes first, or when you are doing due diligence to check whether this person is going to do the job, complies to all other things that government wants. And when you comply, and say, this one, is tax clearance free, is clear, I can give him the job, but not the opposite. But don't answer to background, leave it as it is. And then it's just that these matters and the matters are the matters that are not making you to smile in the department, because are the things that in terms of regulations and the PFMA, you're breaking all those regulations by not doing those kind of things. The last point, DJ. Yeah, the last point. The last point, DG, is saying, DG, the department focuses on clearing prior year qualifications. However, many of the findings reported in the prior year were again reported in the current year as not being handled. And that would create a problem for you, and is going to cause what, DG? The history. Because we don't attend to issues that are creating history, and when we have passed them, then we look back and say, by the way, if we have corrected those things at the time when we're clearing a year program, well, they could have not been a history. And these other things are saying, DG, your hard work on making the department to have a qualified report can tend to be in pain 12 months down the line and spoil the whole happiness that we have. And that is my last word that I want to share with you and the department. But thank you very much, DG, and the department, to stay with us up to this time. But we have done what we wanted to do. You have put a message to you, and then you are very clear understanding how committed we are around these issues that are going to make your work to be easier and your life to be easier. Yes, no,
Honorable Chair and members, no, thank you very much. I'm really sorry that we could not deal with some of the financial and audit questions that's been raised, and I'm quite aware that we've not touched on all of it. Some of the points that you've raised, we will respond to you. What I can assure you is that we do have a very strong and vibrant audit committee, and I've just signed off a letter of appointment to the risk manager, to appoint our first ever risk manager. And so the governance issues, I think we're going to be going to see the department working on improving considerably. But thank you very much for the feedback. As always, many things for us to chew on for a long time, and we hope we can engage further on some of the outstanding matters. Thank you.
Cedric, let's wait.
No, Chairperson, just a short one. I think it is proper for us just also to say that we note the areas of improvement that the department has reported on,
yes,
something to work on for the future, but we believe also that working together we can do even more to improve on what has been done. Secondly, Chairperson, I now understand why the DG and you continuously referred in this meeting to Delhi, because the length of the meeting since this morning up to now is more or less the same time it takes to fly to Delhi. And then lastly, I really feel it for Pori, the committee secretary, who must have a draft report ready tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much, DG, and all your people. It is once more a pleasure that we handle all these things together. Thanks for coming. Thanks once more for coming, DG. Yeah? Thank you.
Hey, so you need to have a report ready by tomorrow.
No,
but I just want to ask, what's the name of DG?
No,
ask him. You're tired now.
Mm-hmm.
initials of V.